that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play a call for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Range Wranglers this Saturday morning, October 21st. Boy, time just marches on. But we welcome you and thank you for joining us, and we'll bring the men on. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we've also got our guest, Tim, from Nebraska. Good morning, Brother Tim.
Good morning.
And we welcome you, the Remnant, here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Well, we better start out with prayer. John, we'd ask you to open us up in prayer, sir.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly but boldly this morning, Lord, claiming the promises that you've given us as the sons of God. Lord, we thank you for those promises. We thank you for the opportunity to serve in your kingdom. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to stand in the gap, to be the glue that holds the remnant together, Lord, until your return. Father, we ask that this morning you would guide and direct our thoughts, that the Holy Spirit would give us wisdom and understanding as to what it is that you would have us to speak about, Lord, that would glorify you and inform the remnant, Father. Show us what's really going on in the world, Lord. Give us the understanding and discernment to be able to tie it into your word, into the holy word, to the scriptures. Father, your word says in Luke 12, 2 and 3, there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be made known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. And nothing is hidden, that will not become evident, and nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. So, Father, we thank you for the answer to these prayers. Father, we thank you for the answer to the prayers that Babylon would fall. And Lord, we can see your mighty hand at work in all of these things. Father, we can see the wicked evilness, evil deeds being exposed deep, deep, deep within the government, Lord. Father, I ask that there would not be a wag the dog moments this time, Lord, that all those things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light. And Father, even now, there's an opportunity to know the truth about the JFK assassination. So Father, I pray that you would reveal that, Lord, and that your people would finally possibly have the scales removed from their eyes and unstop their ears and know the evil wickedness that lurks within our government. Father, we specifically pray for this Las Vegas massacre, Lord, that the things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light, and that those that are responsible for all of this wickedness, Lord, would be held accountable according to your laws, not man's law, but according to your laws. Father, there's been acts of treason. There's been acts of murder. All types of wicked, wicked doings, Lord, that were done in the dark. We continue to petition you, Heavenly Father, that you would reveal those things to your people. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, plenty to talk about. Headlines from A to Z. I know sometimes we'd like to think we live in small town America out here and don't have the big city problems, but had three shot in Fort Collins? What was that, Wednesday night, Thursday morning? That kind of caught our attention down here and hitting awful close to home, unfortunately, being right here, right there at the, we certainly have friends and family right there. And John or Jason, didn't know if you heard any more about it. I just saw a little bit on the news and haven't seen any follow-up on it, but wasn't it, what, two or three dead shot at a apartment complex just off CSU campus?
Yeah, that's what happened. I don't really know. I tried finding out some information on it and haven't been able to find out anything yet.
Yeah, I hadn't either. You read about those things in Indianapolis or California and places, and even way back east in some of the big cities, but you just don't see too much of that here, thankfully. But the times are changing. They are. I remember Pastor, talking in the past years ago about, you can't just run to the mountains anymore. Flee to the mountains. That's not the time that we're in, because the crime, the sin, has gone to the mountains as well. It seems like as well as just about everywhere. And we see that as a result of the sin of the land. This opioid epidemic that's going on. You're talking, I think 64,000 people died last year that they attribute to this, to opioid overdoses. And it's prescription drugs. It's what it is that these people are dying from, this morphine and heroin and oxycodone and methadone. And you hear very little about it. Very little about it. Maybe that's because drug makers have poured only about $2.5 billion into lobbying the members of Congress in the last 10 years to solidify their position You see different reports. 40 people a day die, 90 people a day are dying from this pharmakia, this prescription drug overdose. It kind of came to my attention this week, and that I read a quote from a drug dealer that did pretty good, did really well. I don't know if he's out of prison yet or not, but he talked about how everybody's missing something in their lives, and that's why they're doing drugs. And I'd have to agree with him on that. That's what they are. We have at least a second generation now that's been brought up without God, without God in the public workplace, without God in the government, without God in the schools or the education, and not just the removing of God and His symbols. And you know, every day you see reports that this cross has to be taken down. Freedom from religion is protesting, or the civil liberties, and it's just ridiculous how the enemies of Christ are working overtime in removing God from every, at least our God, from every part of our society, while promoting, you know, Buddha. Now, Buddha gets promoted. No problem with a Buddha statue or any other type of God. And was in I can remember traveling one time and walking through a hotel, and it was a fancy hotel, just walking through, and they had all this Far Eastern, they called it art, but it was these Buddha statues and the snake gods and all this kind of stuff, and you could tell that it was all set up tried to be set up as art. I asked one of the persons there, I said, we don't have a problem with any of these Far Eastern gods. No, nobody had a problem with that. And it's like, well, you know, how come you don't see a picture of, who was it, Da Vinci's Last Supper with Christ and the apostles? You don't see anything like that around. You don't see any of the, any statues or anything of any of the apostles or any of the Western man's art. You see none of that anymore, and it's all just been replaced. And it's part of the change in culture, I think, that we're seeing.
What was that you sent out, Jason, about relief funds?
Well, that I wanted to get to. You know, I know it was really interesting because I believe when Texas, you know, it wasn't that long ago, Texas got burned up by a bunch of fires. And I actually made several trips to Texas during those fires when that was going on. And Dever made a trip through there. And I tell you what, it was going through there when those fires took place was absolutely amazing. I mean, it was the smoke filled the vehicles. It was burning on both sides of the road. I mean, you could actually drive by where the fires were out and the ground was still hot. You could, with your windows up and your air conditioning on, you could tell when you hit the hot spot. We saw where the cows had gotten burned up, where they had shot cows, devastation. And one of the things that was really interesting is I remember this was right after Rick Perry, which was the governor of Texas at that point in time, signed into law and made it mandatory for the young girls of the state of Texas to get the Gardasil vaccination, which was nothing but poison from the pits of hell. And, yeah. Later on he did end up retracting it, but that was right before the fires. And since this whole thing has started, you know, with Hurricane Harvey and stuff like that, I've known that there was something had happened that, what happened? What did happen? What brought the wrath of God upon the state of Texas? Because we've seen that, and I've just known in my spirit that there's been something. And it was interesting. I do got a couple sound bites that I'm going to get to here in a few minutes. Going through this, one of the things that I did notice was Governor Abbott coming out saying, which is the current governor of the state of Texas, saying being anti-Israel is anti-Texas. And in order for you to be pro-Texas, you must first be pro-Israel. And doing some more research into this governor, he's been over to Israel several times. He's, you know, boasted about it. He was at the Jewish Community Center. He signed in. He signed a bill, and it was House Bill 89. And he says, you can always count on Texas, Abbott said at the Jewish Community Center, here to sign the bill into law. Anti-Israel policy is anti-Texas policy. Texas is not going to do business with companies that boycott Israel. House Bill 89, which is bipartisan legislative support, would prevent government contracts and restrict specific state investments with companies. And it goes on and on and on and on. But anyway, going back to the point of the matter is, you know, first of all, the first scripture that came to my mind was 2 Chronicles 19:2. It says, Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord and so bring the wrath of God upon yourselves? And that's a perfect example of it. Hurricane Harvey, the way I found out about this is, Hurricane Harvey repair grant application and agreement by and between the city of Dickinson, Texas. Now, this is Dickinson, Texas. Okay, so basically, and I heard, well, I think we'll go ahead, let's just go ahead and play the first sound clip one.
I've got some questions about this Hurricane Harvey repair grant application, and I was trying to figure out who I should talk to about that.
Okay, what's your question? I'll see if I can help you.
Well, basically, I was reading over it, and it all looks reasonable, and except for number 11, I don't understand at all.
Number 11? There's numbers on it?
Yes, ma'am. It's got a requirement that in order to get relief and rebuilding money...
Okay, you're talking about the agreement. Okay, hold on.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Oh...
I've already tried to call the secretary and they weren't available.
Oh, number 11. Yes, that does appear to be blatantly unrelated. I'm going to forward your call to voicemail here. Thank you.
So that's exactly what this contract says. And not only did they do this in Dickinson, Texas, but they also did it in Houston, Texas. And it jumped out at me, just, I mean, hit me like a ton of bricks. You can go through this whole contract. I printed off the contract. I went to the city of Dickinson, Texas, official city website, and typed in Hurricane Harvey Repair Grant. And sure enough, the contract popped up in a PDF. You download it. It looks like a normal operating agreement contract. Until you get to number 11. Number 11 says, verification not to boycott Israel. By executing this agreement below, the applicant verifies that the applicant does not boycott Israel and, two, will not boycott Israel during the term of this agreement. Now, it was, I mean, it just, boy, you know, talk about the enemy being exposed. And I mean, I think that's one of the things that we've been praying is the deeds done in darkness brought to light, just as Brother John prayed here a minute ago. I looked up the number 11, I thought it was disorder, chaos, and sure enough, that's what it means. The number 11 is the important in that it can symbolize disorder, chaos, and judgment. It is used 24 times, and 11 can be found 19 times, coming after 10, which represents responsibility. But its main meaning is chaos, disorder, and judgment. And talk about the significance of that.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's pretty pointed.
One more sound clip. Let's go ahead and go to sound clip number 2.
All right. This one's about 3 minutes.
People were asking, what does Israel have to do with Texas?
And this is a former congresswoman saying, in order to serve Congress, one has to love Israel before you're allowed to love the USA. And she posted this. Anti-Israel policies are anti-Texas policies. Apparently, this is what's now going on. Back in May, Governor Abbott proudly signed the anti-BDS legislation into law, House Bill 89, which is known as the Anti-Boycott, Divestments, and Sanctions Bill, which prohibits all state agencies from contracting with and certain public funds from investing in companies that boycott Israel. The governor hosted the bill signing at the Jewish Community Center in Austin, and as you can see here, he sat in front of an Israeli flag, not the American flag, while he signed this. So that should tell you about the priorities. It's definitely Israel first and not America, but now they're making it to where your civil liberties are out the window in relation specifically to Israel. So Governor Abbott is now going to enforce that all Texans support Israel.
And it's not just the city of Dickinson, and it's not just the state of Texas. Galveston has some housing contracts on its website that states you cannot support the boycott, divestment, or sanctions. And surprisingly, all 50 U.S. governors, both Democrat and Republican, signed on to condemn the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, joined this group, and many of them have passed laws in their states. New York and Governor Cuomo was the first. It happened in Texas. There's been a bill in Colorado and Arizona. South Carolina, Nikki Haley, she was prominently involved in that. Might be the reason she got her position at the United Nations. North Carolina signed it into law. Michigan signed it into law. Kansas signed it into law, and on and on. And even though the New Yorker pointed out that in the case of New York, the ACLU and other civil liberties movements immediately jumped up and said, that looks like a violation of free speech. You're using state policy to impose what people can't support. They've continued to do this, and they've even gone so far as to draw up a list of entities that do support the boycott, divest, sanctions, and create a McCarthy-like blacklist of people who are boycotting Israel. And, well, what is the threshold? Is it just if you leave a comment on Facebook, or is it if you donate money towards the group? People protested this, and it's very politicized, but at the end of the day, what if you're one of the people in Dickinson, Texas, or Houston, Texas, or other parts of the area where you're not able to repair your house? What does the country of Israel and their controversial politics have anything to do with the aftermath of this flood, and why should it be part of state policy in states all across the nation to where people can't get contracts if they're found to support the BDS campaign? It's open-ended. They could go after anyone because it's proving a negative. Again, they could deny financial contracts just based on a social media post. I don't know if it's happened yet, but it easily could.
What does Stone Mountain, Georgia, have to do with Israel? What I was doing was servicing the needs of my constituents, and I was not allowed to do that because I did not toe the line on U.S. policy for Israel.
And there was a compilation of several audio clips I was able to put together. But I mean, I think that they did a good job of explaining, you know, hey, this is what's going on. And, you know, not even to mention that as far as this is concerned, this contract here from the Dickinson County, from Dickinson, Texas, completely violates your First Amendment U.S. constitutional rights.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah,
Your First Amendment right is, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibition of free exercise thereof, abridging the freedom of speech of or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. This is, it is discriminating against somebody for political religious views.
Sounds like a protest to me when what they're talking about there. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, you know what? It goes back to what Dad always taught us. They know their Bibles better than we do.
Yes.
And in fact, where we were reading this week was in Obadiah 1, verses 15 through 18 under the subtitle The Day of the Lord in the Future. For the day of the Lord draws near on all the nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will return on your own head. Because just as you drank on my holy mountain, all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and swallow and become as if they had never existed. But on Mount Zion, there will be those who escape. And it will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. Now here's where the part that they understand. Then the house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau will be as stubble, and they will set them on fire and consume them. So there will be no survivors of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. Or in other words, thus saith the Lord. They know that.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. And they know as long as they can continue to keep God's people, God's true remnant, in sin and apart from Him, then they prosper. They prosper. They know that when they can keep God's people in sin and, you know, supporting a nation of people that spit when they hear the name of Jesus Christ, that are behind and strongly influence, you know, many of the downfalls of this nation. You know, when that is it is a sin to support those that hate the Lord, and they hate the Lord. And God's wrath is poured out on people, whether it's, you know, on any people, but especially on His people when, well, when we sin. And
yeah.
And that's what we're doing.
The next chapter of the Bible reading plan, or next book, which was Jonah.
Yes.
And right in chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows, God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that he will not perish. When God saw their deeds, that they had turned from their wicked ways, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. They know that too. They know that if we become a nation, 2 Chronicles 7:14, when my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, his promise is there that he will forgive our sin and he will heal the land. And they know that too.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I think that's one of the reasons that they wanted the Bible pretty much banned in public school, is they don't want people reading that. They don't want people reading and starting to think and understand. You know, they'd rather have them playing video games and contemplating the greatness in their terms and their words of these other cultures and everything else. And anything and everything is acceptable today in the workplace. I saw an article the other day that a colonel was reprimanded for not signing a spousal congratulatory certificate for some filthy faggot that was in the military, that was some homosexual that was retiring, and had a same-sex spouse, and the colonel of the base is a Christian, and he wasn't going to sign it. He didn't sign it, the certificate, you know, acknowledging all the whatever crap it was, and he was the one reprimanded. And it's not even a law. He's not even required to sign it. But see, it's just his thought process. His thought, and of course it's driving his action, is Christian. He says, hey, I'm Christian. I'm not going to be a part of this sin. That it wasn't even a law or a requirement for his position to sign and acknowledge that, but yet he was still reprimanded and pretty much blackballed and because of that. And that's what we're seeing. We are seeing the lines being drawn. When Jason showed me that application, it was like, what? You know, so if I want to rebuild my house in Dickinson, Texas, or Galveston, or wherever, or you know, borrow government funds to do that, I have to claim and pledge allegiance to Israel? No, thank you. But that's what this world has come to. The lines are being drawn.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this. I figured you would have saw this, Richard, but Atlanta fire chief was fired because of his Christian faith. And the interesting thing about this one is he used to be all about the race, you know.
Right.
I think there was just last week or the week before in the headlines was, I think it was a white fireman was fired for bringing watermelon to
right.
the breakfast.
That was
or
ridiculous. And you know, in that one that you mentioned, John, the black firefighters, he was a probationary firefighter. He'd been there a year. He had a year of probation. And this was like his welcome aboard party. And the black firefighters there supported. They said, no, that ain't got nothing to do with race. We want the fire. He's a good guy, even though he's white, is what they said. We want him to be part of our department. And they wouldn't have it. See, it's not even...
The interesting thing is...
It's not even the people affected.
In this case, it's... Go ahead.
No, yeah. No. Sorry, it was your story. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That's good. We need to elaborate on some of the stuff. But what I'm saying here is they've gone so far past just the race thing. You know, the race thing
yes.
isn't really working anymore. With Donald Trump as president, there's a lot of things that aren't working anymore. And now what they've done is... In this particular case, this captain is black.
Yeah, a black Christian.
He wrote a book called "Who Told You You Were Naked?" And because he wrote that book, and in that
right.
book, there's in 160 pages, there's a paragraph that he basically says, "I profoundly disagree with the, you know, the LGBT basically," and. There's a paragraph that says uncleanliness, whatever is opposite of purity, including sodomy, homosexuality,
yes.
lesbianism, pederast, whatever that is,
yeah.
bestiality, and other forms of sexual perversion. And then he said, naked men refuse to give in, so they pursue sexual fulfillment through multiple partners with opposite sex or the same sex, and sex out of marriage. And many other vile, vulgar, inappropriate ways which defile their body, the temple, and dishonor God. And because he dared write that, the mayor, who's some kind of Middle Eastern, whatever he is, fired him.
Yeah. Yeah, now, he didn't pass the book out at the fire station. I remember reading this about this, John. He didn't require his firefighters or his captains or lieutenants or anybody to read the book, to have the book, to agree with him. He wrote the book. It was totally separate from the fire department. It's like a social post, just in his life. And see, you can't. That's the distinction that this Jezebel ungodly witchcraft spirit that is so prevalent in the land cannot stand. How many times did our pastor talk and warn us about thought crimes? About the day was coming when you couldn't even, the thoughts you had would be illegal according to this grand America that we live in. And that is the day we live in today. When a black Christian fire chief is fired for writing a book based on biblical principles, totally separate from his job as the fire chief. No, he's fired. He's fired. And we are seeing that all over. And that's what I meant. The entire culture is being changed into this.
And the crazy thing is, this guy, he worked in the Obama administration. He actually left his post in Atlanta, in Shreveport, Louisiana, or wherever it was, to go work in the Obama administration as the head fire administrator. and then came back, and they brought him back as the fire chief. So, I mean, so now you're looking at, not only is this guy not white, which is normally the attack mode, not only is he not conservative, he's a liberal that was an abomination appointee, and still they come after him because they know the Bible better than we do, and they know that the only thing that can bring them down is when his people repent. That's the only thing that can destroy the wickedness in the position that it's in right now.
Amen. Amen.
Well, and I looked at one of the thoughts that came to my mind about a lot of the stuff that we're talking about is Leviticus 18, 25, 26 through 27. It talks about when the children of Israel were, you know, going into the promised land, and, you know, God said, the land has become defiled, and therefore I brought its punishment upon it. So the land spewed out its inhabitants. And then he gives them that warning, you know, but it's for you, you are to keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not do any of these abominations, neither the native nor the alien who sojourns among you. For the men of the land who have been before you have done all these abominations, and the land has become defiled. And I was, it occurred to me that that word alien in there goes back to what they're doing down there in Texas with trying to make people sign away an unalienable right. You can't give that to an alien. You know, the word unalienable in Black's Law Dictionary says that your unalienable rights are given to you by God. They're incapable of being alienated from you. You can't sell them, you can't surrender them, and you can't transfer them, because they're part of your soul, part of that eternal man that goes on forever. You can't, you know. And so they're trying to make you, and we all know how well that worked out when Esau transferred something that was his, you know, for him. I mean, it worked out great for Jacob, and that was God's plan. But you know, God doesn't, when he gives us something that's truly ours and we throw it away or scorn it, it becomes a matter of judgment. And I think that's, and like Jason said, number 11, judgment. Harvey, I was thinking of Harvey. I mean, it's an iron. It means battle-worthy, strong, iron, like as in a rod of iron. You know, we've seen all those things come along there. And God doesn't take that stuff lightly when we do that.
Amen.
Yeah, you look at one of the headlines, too, was when George Bush talks conspiracy theory, America better read between his lines. It's long been warned, should the elite have to face justice, they'd launch a final false flag. And when I was reading into that story, I think it's significant. JFK was the one that wanted to go back to the gold standard, and one of his quotes was, I want to splinter the CIA into thousands of pieces and scatter it to the winds. And if you look at what's going on right now with the Uranium One deal, where basically there was a conspiracy to sell 20% of the United States' uranium to Russia, and that goes all the way to the top. So when the rats are cornered, there's no doubt that they're going to try to get the people's minds off of what's really going on. That's probably what the Harvey Weinstein thing is, for sure. That may be what the purpose of the Vegas thing was, you know, because they know long ahead of before this stuff comes out to the people. They know that this stuff is going to be revealed probably months ahead of time. But I think what's interesting too is the fact that I never really realized it, but Rumsfeld came out and said that they could not account, the Department of Defense could not account for $2.3 trillion dollars in defense spending, and the next day was 9/11.
Wow. Yeah. And who's the largest you know, benefit of military spending and gifting Israel. You know, $10.1 million per day as of 2003. That's what they give them for defense spending. That's what the United States gives to. They call it the state of Israel, but you know that amounts to every man, woman, and child in the United States per year. If my math's right, it was quick, but $112,000 per year for every man, woman, and child in the United States we donate to Israel for defense spending of that place over there. The same.
Wasn't that increased recently?
Oh yeah, those numbers are from 2003, so this is 14 years later. I mean, it's probably double that by now. I mean, I just didn't have access to the, you know, later numbers. But it goes up, and that doesn't include things like loan guarantees and humanitarian aid that we send over there or anything else, and those are tremendous numbers too. But you know, they're you see that money missing. I mean, you don't really think a hammer costs that much when the government buys it, you know. They can,
yeah.
But they're getting to the point that they're giving so much of that to them, and that's a sacrifice, isn't it? A sacrifice. I mean, you've got somebody they're sacrificing to what they value, and I think that, you know, God doesn't honor that.
Well, yeah, it doesn't appear that we're hating those that hate our Lord and hate his people. You know, we're aiding and abetting the enemy, and there's multiple scriptures about that.
Absolutely.
God can't bless you when you're doing that.
No.
No, I mean, I think that, you know, it brings the wrath of God on yourself from the Lord.
Amen.
It does. There again, it goes back to what...
Help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord, and so bring the wrath on yourself from the Lord.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked.
That puts into perspective how we need to have, why we need to have Christian leaders, why we need to have, and pray for those that are in office, pray for those that are running for office. Because they have the ability,
we really need to be
in the wrath of God upon a state, upon a nation, upon a country.
Amen. We need to be praying for protection for those that are standing up against the establishment, because that swamp is deeper and bigger than I think anybody really realized. There's no doubt. I saw a documentary about the enemy within the other day that said there was at least 20 senators and 80 representatives that basically were communists that have infiltrated the government over either communist, Muslim, whatever, same thing, over the last 10 years.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
Well, hold on, what are you saying, Jason?
Let's open the phone line.
Yeah, guys, phone lines, we've still got about 15 minutes here this morning. 307-745-5913 if you want to give us a call this Saturday morning, October 21st. It's Coffee with the Wranglers, and you can hear the topic of conversation. It's the days that we are in, and the call for repentance. Again, 307-745-5913.